81% from the field.
Holy oh, my shit. God.
Well, he is right there next to the basket. But
yeah, no threes in that performance.
Sounds boring to me, mate. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure someone still fell asleep watching him play.
He missed 5 shots the whole game.
Fair. I mean, just because you win doesn't mean it still can't be boring.
That's true. I'm Sasha Scarborough, and welcome to the Basketball Forever podcast. Today, I am joined by CEO, game score enthusiast, and founder of Basketball Forever, Alex Sumsky.
Hey.
I am joined by lead writer for Basketball Forever, Nick Jungfer.
Hey, how's it going?
And I am with founder of Podpaste and our wonderful producer, Darren Lake.
Hello. Who was just talking with Sasha Skyber, who is your host and sports agent. Like, who are we going to say you like?
We need to come up
our
with
list.
One every time.
Ari Gold. Yeah. Cherry Maguire. What other big sports agents?
Oh, we've gone through almost the whole list.
We have.
Next episode, I guarantee I'm going to have a new sports agent to say.
Okay, sounds good. In this episode, we're going to be discussing game score, which is a statistic invented by John Hollinger to provide a rough measure of a player's performance in a given game. Now, this isn't a common metric used in the mainstream media, and we have a resident expert here, Alex Sumsky, who's going to provide a little bit of commentary on what the stat is, how it works, how it's calculated. We're going to discuss who's the best by game score as a stat, some of the craziest stat lines and the games themselves. We're going to talk about playoff performances and then also recent players who've played the game who have super impressive game scores. So, Alex, can you explain a bit more what this stat is that John Hollinger invented?
Yeah, because I'm going to jump in. Usually I come in later in the episode, but fuck this. yeah, this sounds like something new, and I remember you saying this back in the LeBron
definitely
episode, and yeah, man, I'm really interested to hear this algorithm that has come out that was not around when I was playing basketball.
Well, it technically was around when you were playing basketball, but the thing it was like it was around. So
shut the fuck up. That's the first thing.
Well, no, here's the thing: it wasn't really like widely, you know, publicized.
Okay.
Really until, so like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't actually hear it in mainstream media between the years of like 2008,
yes,
and 2015.
Okay,
it was really in 2016, I think, was the first time I heard, well, not like I heard about it, like I was aware of it, but I heard it being discussed on like ESPN, et cetera, et cetera. And that was when I think it was Anthony Davis had a crazy game, which we'll get to later, and he made like the top 10 or something.
Before that, it was only the blog boys, as KD calls them, who,
yeah, that's
who
right.
really used it. It wasn't just on it wasn't on SportsCenter or anywhere.
Are you a that's blog right. boy, Nick?
I guess I technically am.
Yeah, you're a blog boy. Yeah, you don't play the game, you talk about the game.
So, Alex, how is it calculated? What is it?
So, like you said before, you know, John Hollinger, who does all of the crazy, you know, deep sort of stats that we like to do, you know, dive into, you know, player efficiency rating, et cetera, et cetera. He is the wizard behind all of them. And like you said, yeah, it is a measurement of a player's performance in any given game. It basically is a number that you can equate to someone's production, like okay. overall production in a game. And it just creates like a really easy ranking system for like how productive / efficient a player can be. So maximum output with maximum efficiency.
Okay. As opposed to mainstream stats now, which just talk about how many points you scored and how many rebounds you got with no mention of that.
Or even PR that only looks at efficiency.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got things that look at like production and output, and you look at things that, you know, also look at like efficiency and everything else.
Yes.
But this takes everything into account to spew out, you know, a really juicy number for you. So the formula is like, I'm not even going to bother trying to say it, you know, into the microphone right now, but it basically just takes into account almost everything a player does during a game that can possibly be quantified.
Okay.
So you're looking at, you know, points, field goals made, attempts, free throws attempts, you know, offensive, defensive rebounds, steals, assists, blocks, personal fouls, and turnovers.
And are they weighted differently for what's more important and what's not?
They absolutely are weighted differently. Okay. So like it's kind of like anyone who plays fantasy basketball, which I would say like a lot of people listening would
definitely
the way that those fantasy, like a fantasy output, like fantasy numbers are determined in some leagues, it's a similar sort of algorithm. Very, very like it's structured very similarly. So to give you a bit of a guide before we start, the average player in the NBA, and don't quote me, but I know it's around these numbers.
Okay.
The average player puts up about 10.7 points per game, about something like, I don't know, I feel like it's 4 rebounds or close to 4 rebounds, 3 assists, like 0.6 steals, something like that. And they shoot about 42% or 43% from the field.
Okay, that sounds right.
So if you were to put up that performance, you have that in a game, you would have about a game score of somewhere in the vicinity of 9 and 11.
Okay.
That would be your score.
Where's the strangest place you've lost your car keys? Inside the refrigerator? The washer or dryer? The trunk of your car? The kitty litter box? Well, good news, because even if you've lost your keys on the moon, you can still unlock your car and get where you're going with available digital key in the 2023 all-new Kia Niro EV. Farther for all. To learn more, visit kia.com/Niro EV today. Kia, movement that inspires.
Is the average sort of score. So a big performance, like a crazy, like a really good performance that you might see in, say, one of these playoffs. Damian Lillard's 50-point game with the game winner.
Yep.
That's a score of about 40.
Okay.
Okay, so that just gives you a little bit of a sense. And this has only existed since about 1984.
So, Darren, you were not... I shouldn't have told you to shut the fuck up. That was my mistake. Yeah. 1984.
Well, I just got a question. You might touch on this, but with the game score, it's only on the game, and then you average that game score throughout the games, or can you have like a season score?
You get a game score for every game you play,
and then it's just an average of the. The games have weight then? Like, would it be
No.
Would a playoff game be different?
No.
It's a metric per game.
It's a metric per game.
Okay. Right.
So, you raise an interesting point because there. I don't even think anyone collects that data.
That would be really good, actually.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And like, what's the average game score over a season? That's interesting, but it's all game by game.
Okay.
I'd love to know what the average... I'm going to actually look... after this, I'm going to start
building...
Like, you
could seek that spreadsheet.
That
basketball
yeah,
reference.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so when you say 40 is a good score, it's fair to say that you can think about it, how you'd think about points. Like, 40 is great.
Right.
20 is good. Not amazing, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's just, you'd think about it that way, right?
Exactly. That's a great way of thinking about it.
So Zach LaVine is like God, right? No, I'm getting off the point there.
This stat's only...
Who's Zach LaVine?
He's just a guy that scores a lot of points and does nothing else.
He is the best dunker in the league right now.
Oh my God, I'm totally showing that. I don't know. Sorry, let's delete that out. All right, continue.
So who are some of the performers that we talk about when we're talking about game score? Who are some of the guys that have unbelievable individual performances?
So the way I like to look at this list is basically a ranking of the best individual game performances in history, but really it's not history because we can only go back as far as like 1984.
Okay.
So it's just kind of recent history, but it's still the Michael Jordan era, which is great. And I think because that's kind of like the era of basketball that's, a lot of the people listening care about the most.
It's the modern game.
Exactly.
It changed. Jordan definitely changed the game up at that
time. Professional sport.
It became fun to watch.
Yep. Yeah. You know, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Dr. J. I'm showing my age, and I'm just going to go on a really very quick rant. But yeah, Dr. J started, Julius Erving started making the game flashy, and Magic Johnson and, even Larry Bird throw that in there. Like, that was like a bit pre-Michael Jordan. I know he overlapped there, but I feel like that's when the game became like really good.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Sorry. I digress.
So when we look at like the top performances all time, some of these are going to be really, really interesting to you. But out of curiosity, who do you think in the NBA from sort of mid-80s onwards had the best game stat line of all time?
The best ever?
Best ever.
I was looking at some notes, but I'm actually not sure what I was looking at or if that was for this.
Try. Just take
a guess. Well, it's hard to go against the GOAT.
So you're going to go with MJ?
LeBron.
GOAT?
I know. I purposely said that to be inflammatory. Oh. MJ.
Triggered. So I'm thinking of like guys who like just put up disgusting numbers. Like, I mean, Wilt obviously does not fall under game score. You could probably go back and calculate it, mind you.
Oh, you could. You could easily go back. Like, there's calculators online.
Sure,
you can,
sure.
You can work it out.
Fill it into the formula.
He would have some insane ones, but I like to. We're only focusing on modern.
So I would here. I would hazard a guess. I would just say Kareem.
Kareem didn't make the. Was he having like big performances in the '80s?
Yeah, man, that was his heyday.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
He retired in what, late '80s, I think. I'm gonna say Magic Johnson, man, because he averaged a triple double.
True, and he was all he did everything.
Weren't all these guys having their heyday before this stat was a big.
That's what I'm saying. Like all these guys had their heyday
well,
before
this is 84,
this stat.
Right?
This is 84 onwards.
Magic Johnson came in the early 80s, so...
The 70s.
Was it late 70s?
And then he played throughout the 80s. So he's not
into the early
probably
90s.
Not a great example.
Yeah.
So Penny Hardaway's up there, I'm going to guess. Because Penny Hardaway, in his first few years, he...
I'm about to shock the shit out of you guys.
Shock the shit out of me, bro.
It's none of the people you're saying, except for Nick, who said MJ.
I feel like we didn't even get close. MJ, most are not even in the right time era.
MJ's stat line, when he played... the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 28th of March, 1990. This is the number he put up that ranks him as the highest game score ever, which was, remember how I said like 10 is the average in the league? 10 or 11 is the average in the league.
Uh-huh.
And like a really amazing game score of like is about, you know, 40. Michael Jordan's game score was 64.6.
Good Lord.
Oh my God.
And in order to rack that up, against the Cavs, he had 69 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, only turned the ball over twice, and he shot 62% from the field.
Did he hit a 3?
Is that what the game winner?
He hit 2 threes.
Craig Eagle? I know the game you're thinking of, yeah.
Craig Eagle,
heartbreaking game shoot.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
So when was it?
So he hit a 3 or no?
This was 1990. He hit 2 threes.
No way.
Threes on 6 attempts.
So he was feeling it.
Yeah, he hit for a guy that couldn't hit threes, 2 of 6 is not that bad.
Well, that's pretty good.
He also shot 21 of 23 from the free throw line.
Damn.
So that basically is the performance that gets you the number one spot.
So 64.6 is the magic number.
That's the magic number. No one has really come. So the next closest person, no one's come close, but mind you, really, the person who is closest is the number two spot, and then everyone else is like, you know, quite far below.
He's right there though. I'm looking at it. Number two,
Kobe.
Yeah, he's only
exactly
1.1 points.
Where's the strangest place you've lost your car keys? Inside the refrigerator, the washer or dryer, the trunk of your car, the kitty litter box. Well, good news, because even if you've lost your keys on the moon, you can still unlock your car and get where you're going with available digital key in the 2023 all-new Kia Niro EV. Farther for all. To learn more, visit kia.com/Niro EV today. Kia, movement that inspires.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The way.
Only one close, and that is because in order to get that, he had to drop 81.
Oh, yeah, the 81-point game.
That's the 81-point game. He had 81 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and he shot 61% from the field.
That's a scandal.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in because number 3 is is poking out at me, and it's hilarious. Karl Malone.
Yeah.
And I don't like to say I hate someone, but the way Karl Malone played disgusted me. It was the most boring like experience to watch that dude play basketball.
Yeah.
And he always put up like, you know, 21 points, 15 rebounds.
Everyone has that take about Tim Duncan and Spurs and stuff, but you're like,
he was Tim Duncan before Tim Duncan.
Saying it's Malone, yeah.
Yeah, like, and he always got to the finals. Did they ever win a championship? I don't know, but his
No, Jazz never won a championship.
Michael didn't let anyone eat.
Stopped it every time.
He stopped it, yeah. Him and John Stockton, it was just boring, but they always won. It was like watching Princeton play, like, in the NBA. So, it makes sense that he would then. I can't believe Tim Duncan's not in the top 10.
So you
that is interesting.
You think that's boring? Yet, this guy in that game that you're talking about had 61 points, 18 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, and wait for this. He shot 81% from the field.
Holy oh, my shit. God.
Yeah.
Well, he is right there next to the basket. But
yeah, no threes in that performance.
Sounds boring to me, mate.
But I'm pretty sure someone still fell asleep watching him play.
He missed 5 shots the whole game.
Fair. I mean, just because you win doesn't mean it still can't be boring.
That's true.
And he only played 33 minutes.
That's
riddle me that.
That's impressive.
That's the wild part.
He could have gotten Michael. If he played 40 minutes.
If only he knew about game score.
But here's the thing.
Analytics.
How crazy is this? The number one and the number three, like two of the best ever, happened within like a month, almost a month of each other.
Wow. Yeah,
that's wild. How does he only play 33 minutes?
And I think they were just like really far
this
ahead.
This is before the days of load management.
Because like, bear in mind, like the Utah Jazz blew out the Milwaukee Bucks 144-96.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that fits into the boring thing, Darren. Yeah.
Very boring, but how did they let them score 96 points, though? Like, what were they doing?
That's true.
Well, they kept them under 100.
Fair, but that's still a lot of points, man.
And especially back then.
Yeah. That was a big East Coast, West Coast thing. Again, showing my age. East Coast played defense back then. West Coast would score.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, this is late night or shit, early 90s.
True. Okay, so they're beating these guys by 50, right? Have there been any of those top performances by game score that have been on momentous occasions, like in a massive game, in an important moment?
Oh, like definitely. So, I mean, I guess it depends what you mean by important. Like, these are all regular season games.
Are they all regular season? Okay.
It's a great question, though, because I want to see game scores where it's weighted towards, like, massive moments. I want it, like, Damon is 50. Can we wait that last shot, like, through the roof, please?
I'd like to, but we've got, like, so, I mean, separately to this is just the regular season. We've got a playoff list, which I'll rattle off a couple of those bad boys. But just a couple of, like, really sort of interesting stats when you sort of look at the top 25 of these performances. So, Michael Jordan has the most in that list. He's got 5 of the top 25.
Wow.
And he also holds the number one spot. Kobe, who's got the third, the second top spot, he has 3 in the top 25. And when we talk about sort of, you know, like you said, momentous occasions, where these, you know, I mean, almost all of these games are defined by these players' performances.
Okay, right.
That's what's made them these big occasions.
Okay.
Kobe's 81, Michael Jordan's 69. In here, at number 6 all time, is Devin Booker when he dropped 70. And that was in 2017. That's like really, that's only 2 years ago.
When he was what, 20? 21?
Yeah, he was 20.
He was a
20-year-old kid, dropped 70.
That is insane.
Against the Boston Celtics, who were like one of the best defensive teams in the league. And then, of course, there's Anthony Davis at number 8 and LeBron James, number 9. But number 4 all time is the interesting one, because that one was only last year. And that was, can you guess who?
No, I can't. Russell Westbrook?
James Harden.
Wow.
So he ended up taking it. That was when he had that 60-point triple-double.
He's got to
be Russ, because you can't get it when you're 4 for 25.
That's true. No. And I mean, he's got to be, James Harden has got to be the only guy on that list playing 4 fouls.
Yeah. And
for sure.
But I mean, you know, he got 18 free throws that game, hit 17 of them.
Yeah.
He had 30 shots, made 19 of them.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So with 60 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals and a block.
How many guys did he kick his legs into to try to get a 3-point?
16,000.
Yeah.
So all that's kind of what makes them makes all these performances sort of super special.
Okay. So playoff performances, can you rattle off any of these when I think of like big game players, like Michael, obviously, he's one of the most clutch, if not, I don't know what the analytics say. I know people debate this now. But when you think of guys that came up big, he's got to be right there. LeBron's got to be right there.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when you look at the like regular season list and then the playoff list, there's actually like some stark differences.
Right, okay.
You think of Kobe as like a guy that would like show up there.
Definitely. Anecdotally, he loved a big moment, right?
But he doesn't really appear, like he does appear on the list, of course. Like he's had big playoff games. But the first time he shows up is like number 16th and then number 17th, which, you know, I'm not knocking that. That's like amazing in and of itself to be like 16th on any all time.
But when you compare it to number one, number three, some of these guys.
Totally. Like Sleepy Floyd, Hakeem, you know, Vince Carter has a better top spot. Like he's number 7, Dirk, number 8. Allen Iverson, number 10.
Hakeem's there.
But the number one playoff performance ever, Charles Barkley.
Wow. The round mound to rebound.
That's right. And that was against the Golden State Warriors. He won 140-133.
That's just terrible. It was just terrible.
Yes.
That was when he had, I think it was 56 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. He shot 74% from the field, 75% from 3.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to shoot threes.
But not he couldn't really make them. And then he kind of just hit like...
Got hot.
Yeah, he got hot. So that kind of got... Like, that notched him the top spot. But what I really love is the fact that, you know, Michael Jordan... So Charles Barkley, he obviously has the number one for playoff performances, but he appears twice in the top 6.
Sorry, he has the number one for regular season?
No, for playoffs.
Oh, right.
So Charles Barkley, that performance I just read.
That's number one for
playoffs. That's number one for playoffs.
Yes, okay.
And then he's also got the number 6th all time in playoffs too. Michael Jordan, who has got the top spot, second top spot, also appears in the top 6 too. So... That's dominated basically by like 2 Michael Jordan performances and 2 Charles Barkley performances, which were kind of like the staple players of the 80s and 90s, really.
So, Alex, when we look at the top 10, back when talking regular season now again, and you've got MJ, Kobe, Carmelo, 1, 2, and 3. If we look at the rest of the top 10, James Harden, 10. James Harden, 4. LeBron James, 9. Anthony Davis, 8. Devin Booker, 6. That's half the top 10 are performances in the last 3 years. Is it easier to have a massive game by game score in the modern NBA than it was in the 90s?
I actually think it definitely depends on like the sort of player you are, first of all.
Okay.
If you have a look at sort of the Michael Jordans, the Kobes, the Karl Malones of this list... And the David Robinsons, for example, these are like people who have racked up huge game scores from really, really big scoring performances.
Okay.
I really don't think that we're going to see like an 81-point game, something like that again. And Devin Booker was the closest that we got to it. And that was because like that team was just, that game, which I'm sure everyone remembers, became purely about Devin Booker getting to 70.
Yep. Took on a life of its own. Can we get him the ball?
Exactly. And that wasn't the Lakers versus Raptors game where Kobe had 81. That was like, my team is so shit, I need to actually score 81 to win. That's what it was. They were losing for the majority of the game. So I think that when you look at the, you know, someone like James Harden who makes top 4, the 4th spot, it's not because he dropped crazy points. It's because of those triple doubles. And now we're set up today in a league that, achieving triple doubles has become a norm.
Sure.
You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, normalized it and audiences are desensitized to it.
Definitely.
So people chase triple doubles and, you know, a high scoring triple double will really, if you notch that, you're basically guaranteed a spot in the top 20 list if you're efficient doing it. Like that's how you guarantee.
Where's the strangest place you've lost your car keys? Inside the refrigerator? The washer or dryer? The trunk of your car? The kitty litter box? Well, good news, because even if you've lost your keys on the moon, you can still unlock your car and get where you're going with available digital key in the 2023 all-new Kia Niro EV. Farther for all. To learn more, visit kia.com/Niro EV today. Kia, movement that inspires.
Guarantee yourself a spot. And, you know, our league today, you know, is set up in a way where that's so much more achievable than it ever used to be. If you wanted to have a big performance, you know, even in the early 2000s, it was about how can I drop 60, 70, 80, not that anyone dropped 70, but that's the difference.
I think a key thing to add as well is just the pace. So it's played at a much faster pace, so a lot more possessions now. So you've got so many more opportunities to do these things. If this stat was adjusted for pace, it obviously would make no difference. But of course, there's so many more opportunities to collect either some points, rebounds, assists on any given play because there are more of those plays.
And then with the playoffs in particular, like I feel like modern era, and you can disagree, but I feel like the pace is slowed down a little bit.
As people get nervous and they start to think.
For sure there's a huge difference.
In the free-flowing games of the middle of the year.
Regular season and playoffs. And it feels like that there's a theory out there that gap is widening. We get these rock fights. Like regular season, we see 130, 140 all the time. And then dead set rock fights in the playoffs.
Which is why the only players who have had a performance in the last, decade, who have made that list are Dirk Nowitzki and LeBron James. Like, two of the best to ever do it. You're not going to see the likes of, you know, Devin Booker James Harden, Russell Westbrook in that top 10, I think, for playoff performances for a very long time, if at all.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Basketball Forever podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, and Stitcher. We are at Basketball Forever on Facebook and Instagram.